Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to guide and direct us in this season, Lord. Help us to again grasp the wonder and the beauty and really that which we can claim as ours. Father, we just pray, help us to really be students this morning, but also not just hearers, but doers. Bless this time, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was younger, I had a pretty good setup. I had a waterbed. Hey, they were in. Temperature was always nice where I come from. Always nice. It's always, too, whenever things kind of got to a lull, there was always some excitement going on, always some movement, always something happening. In fact, it was almost like an amusement park. I lived close to one. It was such a wonderful place. Everything that I needed was there. I had no care. I had no family to save for, to provide for, to be responsible for. All my needs met. Everything was good until the day my mother kicked me out. Oh, it was subtle things first. A little push here, a little push there. I was kind of oblivious to it at the time. But then it just got more intense. I don't know, maybe she just got tired of me. The push, and then the climax, the shove. The opening was tight. I came through it. And then I was awakened with a slap, right on my rear end. I was alive. Life. Then the struggle began. The crying, the struggle. Food wasn't always there when I wanted it. Then there was messy things in the back, which before, just, you know, I didn't have to think about it or worry about it or smell it. It was just gone. Food came automatic. I enjoyed it. It was good stuff. Now all of a sudden she was trying to feed me this stuff that just, it wasn't, you know what, it wasn't edible because my brothers wouldn't eat it. And yet they were shoving it in my mouth. Then I realized, too, very quickly, that I wasn't the baby anymore. I could still remember the day going up to my mother in her rocking chair, and there was somebody that took my place. This little thing was sitting there on her lap. And she said the words I never wanted to hear. She said, "Oh, Luke, honey, there's someone else now. You're too old for this. You have to learn." And pain and struggles and suffering continued throughout my life. Yours too. It's interesting because there's many a people that have said things about life. T.S. Eliot said it this way. He said, "The endless cycle of idea and action, the endless invention, the endless experiment brings knowledge of motion, but not of stillness, knowledge of speech, not of silence, knowledge of words and ignorance of that word. All our knowledge brings us near to our ignorance. All our ignorance brings us near to death. But nearness to death, no nearer to God. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? The cycles of heaven in 20 centuries bring us further from God and nearer to the dust." C.S. Lewis put it this way. Said, "Actually, it seems to me that one can hardly say anything either bad enough or good enough about life." Another writer put it this way. "Life is like an onion. You peel it off one layer at a time, and sometimes you weep. Robert Frost said, in three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on. Another writer put it this way, life, oh how daily it is. Mundane, nothing joyful. Shakespeare, in his way of writing, put it this way, life's but a walking shadow. I should say, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Another person put, life is an incurable disease. James Dobson wrote it this way, life, again speaking for a homemaker, is washing dishes 3 hours a day, cleaning sinks and scouring toilets and waxing floors. It's chasing toddlers and mediating fights between preschool siblings. It's the life driving your station wagon to school and back, which of course is the van now, 23 times per week. It's grocery shopping, baking cupcakes for the class party. The straight life eventually means becoming the parent of an ungrateful teenager, which I assure you is no job for sissies. It's difficult to let your adolescent find himself, especially when you know he isn't even looking. Certainly the straight life for the homemaker can be exhausting experience at times. As for the man, it's not much simpler. It's pulling your tired frame out of bed 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year. It's earning a two-week vacation in August and choosing a trip that will please the kids. The straight life is spending your money wisely when you'd rather indulge in a new whatever. It is taking your son bike riding on a Saturday when you want so badly to watch the ball game. It's cleaning out the garage on your day off after working 60 hours the prior work week. Straight life is coping with head colds and engine tune-ups and crabgrass and income tax forms. It's taking your family to church on Sunday when you've heard every idea the minister has to offer. It is giving a portion of your income to God's work when you already wonder how ends will meet. The straight life for the ordinary garden variety husband and father is everything I have listed and more, much more. That has nothing on what the Scriptures talks about in life. Solomon, in all his wisdom, says, therefore I hated life because the work that has been done under the sun was distressing to me, for all his vanity and grasping for the wind. For who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Job, who should know, said, a man who was born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Indeed, the psalmist goes on, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. For as man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, for the wind passes over and it is gone. In its place, he remembers it no more. You feel uplifted? There's an interesting thing in Genesis, if you will. Genesis is an obituary. Did you know that? Yeah. Because it'll mention somebody, how many years they lived, and then it says they died. Lived, died. Toiling under the sun, lived, died. You know, it's been said that things don't change, but, you know, the earth does change in a lot of forms. There's some places that are pretty much pristine. There's the same. But if you will, there's really only one constant that we have. It's when you look up. See, the stars are still in their same place. people have been guided by the stars for years. That's the same moon that everybody that's ever lived on this earth has looked up at in wonder. Life. Without life, we couldn't understand what death is. Without death, we can't really understand what life is. But see, in death, there's darkness. No understanding. No hope. No reason. See, we live in an age where people are talking about finding yourself, find your dream, find your gifts, find what makes you happy and do it. Become your dream. Dream it. I hear it all the time. Successful people, what advice do you have? Follow your dream. Follow it. Don't give up on it. Reality is, we learn that dreams, they fall away, fade away. It's not a reality. Because even what you get, what you think is your dream, it's still the toil, keeping up. Or as we've learned too, how famous people hide away or kill themselves by over-medicating themselves. Generation after generation after generation after generation until the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So that in Adam all die. But the last Adam, He became a life-giving Spirit. You know what we celebrate at Christmas? Turn with me. Luke chapter 2. You there? Look at verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. All the world had hope for the first time. Light was shining. What was it shining over this place? Light has come into the dark world. In fact, Jesus Himself said, I am the light of the world. You've lived in darkness. I am the light of the world. In fact, that's not the only things He said about Himself. Not only that He was the light of the world, but He's the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. He also said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everything you need to know is in me. Everything that needs to be illuminated in your life is in me. Everything that can sustain you is in me. Everything that you need in this life is in me. something that should startle each one of us and waken us to something that is more. He says, I have come to give you life now, more abundantly, exceedingly, more than you could ever think or wonder now. How's your life as a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you discovered that? It's not in the mundane things you do. It's in a simple fact that when we receive Christ, just as God took the clay of this earth, the elements of this earth, formed man and breathed into it, now us as believers... Oh, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. See, he also said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Have you ever seen a glacier or a geyser? What are they called? Geyser, thank you. You know, geyser. Shoots up, right? A fountain shoots up. That which is in you should shoot up. To where? Right where it came from. Right into him. In fact, Jesus put it this way. On that day of the feast, he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. When we came to Christ, because of that baby that came into the darkness, in the darkness of our own hearts, when we received Christ, the light has shined in our hearts. But not only that, Christ has breathed into our hearts that we have received His Spirit. Now what does that mean? This is the Christmas story. See, God penetrated clay by breathing into it, and then He penetrated darkness by clothing Himself in it. Now He's brought to life those who would receive it. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Look at verse 15, chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. Break it down, make it simple. What's that mean? You've got to be obedient? Yes. But also, what it really means is this. What he's telling us, receive it, accept it, believe it, live it. Okay? You with me? Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter. One that will help you through and endure and give you strength through the trials of this life. One who is like me. That's all that word speaking of. And He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. That means forever. That means He's with you, remains with you forever. That means everything that we go through on this earth, on this rock, on this dirt, on this clay, He's with us. Isn't that great news? Think about this. Rejoice in this. What is this? He doesn't look at you and go, nah. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. Even in the darkness that you think is darkness, even when you feel you're alone, even when you have no answer to the questions that you have, He's with you. Never leaving you. Ever. ever. Remember he said, obey, listen to my command. Listen to what I'm telling you. Never, ever, ever. He says himself, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you. Nor forsake you. Ever, ever, ever. He's with you. Through this, what we call life, he is with you. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth. Just think that through. The Spirit of truth. He's going to lie. He doesn't lie. He's going to confirm. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When we received Christ, we received his Spirit, that he breathed into us his Holy Spirit. You cannot have more of the Spirit than you have now. Remember this, it's always a question of how much does the Spirit have us? With me? This is the good news of Christmas. Now drop down to verse 26, same chapter. But the Helper, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. We have a teacher to guide us. Walking through us in life. And he's given us a guidebook, and he says, read the book and I will teach you. I will instruct you the command, the voice of the word to you. I will teach you. That when you hear the word of God, when it is taught according to my will, then it'll be like living water to your soul. When you're sitting there reading and you desire to hear my voice, I will touch and minister to you through my word. I will teach you. I will make it come alive. Is that great news? I have a teacher. I don't know how you were as a student. I was a horrible student. I was a lot worse than I even thought. I was looking through some old stuff and I got some of my old report cards in high school. Now, understand, I always knew how to get away with as little as possible to still play sports, and that's all I wanted to do. And I did. In fact, I look at it now, I go, man, I would be disqualified from the way they have it now. There's no way I would have played. But I passed. And that was the main thing. I passed, at least at that time. I need a teacher is what I'm telling you. I need someone beside me all the time, instructing me, helping me through life. Don't you? You have a teacher. Now with me, turn to chapter 16. Same book, John. Look at verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Two things we learn there. He's my guide. That means he leads and guides. Okay? Not like he's pushing. He's leading and guiding and revealing and showing and teaching and instructing that through the dark valleys, through the struggles, through the pain, through the sorrow, through the joys, through the doors, through the ways or paths, he is leading me. He is guiding me. Always with the Word of God. Always by His Spirit, leading me through this life. Isn't that cool? I'm not alone. Not only I'm not alone, I have a teacher. Not only that, He's just teaching me and saying, go do. He's guiding me through the lessons. Life has now become bearable. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. a little while, and you will not see me. In a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. What's he doing? He's revealing the Son, the light, the truth, the way, the life. Life. It's not in your circumstances. It's not in your struggles. It's not in your triumphs. Because everything leads to one thing, darkness and death, but we who have come to the light have a teacher. We have a comforter. We have a guide. We have an instructor. We have one that will remain with us and in us. Never leave us. Never forsake us. Always at work. And His work is always perfect. You have life. I always think of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein. Life! You know when the monster finally comes alive? I have no idea what the bolts are. Is it holding his neck to his head or what? I don't get it. But life! We have life! That's what we celebrate. That's what Christmas is about. Life everlasting. Life eternal. But life back to where it's supposed to be. In fellowship with Him who created us. Now, every week it's going to be about this long. Short messages, but I'm going to give us homework. And I say us. Because you just learned something. What is it? Life. You have it. It's yours. It's eternal. You have God inside you. God the Spirit. And He wants to reveal to you not only what He's doing, but what He's going to do. Are you listening? And remember, it's like I said before, you have all the Holy Spirit you need. How much does the Holy Spirit have of you? And we're going to look at four words this coming week. And if we really take notes, if we listen to the words of Christ, if we listen to the command, if we let the Christmas story reveal itself to us, we're going to find these four words. And it's going to revolutionize. It's going to change. It's going to bring life. Abundantly to each of us. So your homework is, and it'll be the same. Lord, help me to understand life in the Spirit. Prepare my heart to receive what your Spirit would teach me. In the coming weeks, I dare you. But don't just pray for yourself. Pray for each other in this body. And you will have the best Christmas you've ever had. Because it will truly be the beginning of life. More abundantly. More than you would ever believe. You'll see Him. To think about that. Meditate on that. And pray through it this week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the truth that we do have life. Lord, we confess that so many times that we walk in darkness, not knowing where we're going. Reality is You do. You know the way. You know everything that we go through, and there is a purpose for it. Maybe not things that were self-inflicted and we don't have to do, but even in those things You use for Your glory, for Your purpose, for Your praise, for Your revelation. You in our lives, the unveiling, the truth that You are ours. We are Yours. Lord, our prayer is that we would understand that you have come to give us life more abundantly. Help us to stop looking at our circumstances and help us to look at the relationship that we now have in you. Help us to be able to understand and sense that you are with us, you will not leave us nor forsake us, and you dwell and abide in us. Bless these coming weeks, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to really allow the Spirit to have more of us. We ask all these things in His name, that there is no other name under heaven, that every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess that He is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And it's in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, we pray. Amen.